Amen. Thank you, Donna. Good morning. I was going to see if y'all were going to catch that. It's actually not morning. It's afternoon, right? But y'all still said good morning. You just fell right into suit. How about this? Good afternoon. It's a little bit different, being in the Lord's house to worship Him at 2 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon, as opposed to our normal time on Sunday mornings. But I am so glad that you were here. Those who decided to brave the weather, and for those of you who did not and said, "I don't really trust it," that's perfectly okay. I hope that you're joining us online, and we welcome you along the way as well. Give each other a wave that says, "Hey, man, look, you made it. You didn't slip, slide, or get in a ditch or crash into anybody." That is all a very, very good thing. And then if you're part of our online audience, be sure to let Dr. Cazito know that you are there. Make your presence known. They have little hand waves. You can do that, or you can say hello to him. We appreciate him. And as always, if you have any questions whatsoever, you can ask them online. We will get you some answers without any shadow of a doubt. So thank you for taking the time to come out here today. As always, I wanted to stress that we want to make sure everybody is safe. We felt like doing it this way. The parking lot looks good, that for those that felt brave enough to be able to come out. Hopefully you didn't have any problems or issues, and we are glad that you're here today to worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. And if you couldn't make it, don't feel bad about that. We're not trying to make anybody feel bad about that, but thank you for joining us online today as we worship our Lord. Let's look to the Lord in word of prayer as we begin our time together today. Father, we come to you again thanking you for the many, many blessings that you bestow upon us. And Lord, the blessing of even being able to come together today and just shout our praises to you. Lord, we know that we may be few in numbers today, but that doesn't dampen the spirit. It doesn't dampen our hearts. We are so glad to have this opportunity to come together and to worship you, Lord, as your word tells us, in spirit and in truth. So today, as we take these moments together around your word, and as we worship you in every aspect of what we do, Lord, from lifting up our voices in song to returning of the tithe and the offering to gathering in your word, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak loudly and clearly to us, and that our worship to you would truly be received as a pleasant fragrance to you in heaven. So Lord, I pray right now that you will lead us and guide us, that we may be exactly what you want us to be, that we may hear exactly what you want us to hear today. And Lord, we'll be careful to praise you as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning.
I did it too. Habit. We're going to start with 334, Blessed Assurance. We'll say a little change. I'd like to thank David and Donna. They're stepping in. They're going to sing the special for us, and we'll move the choir special to next week. So thank you, David and Donna. Please stand as we sing 334, Blessed Assurance.
Blessed Assurance. My Savior, I'm happy and my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Well, one of the things that you get when you get old people to sing is you get old songs. And we're going to sing an old song today. This song was written by Bill Gaither. It was written for Doug Oldham. Doug Oldham at one time was the featured soloist at Jerry Falwell's church in Lynchburg. But in the early days, Doug was an alcoholic. And he had gotten so bad, he lost his family, he lost his job, he lost everything he had. And when he was at rock bottom, Jesus just reached out and saved him. And he was sharing his testimony with Bill Gaither, and Bill wrote this song for Doug, who was the first one to record it, but he wrote it as Doug's testimony. So the song's entitled Thanks to Calvary. Today I went back to the place
Thank you, David and Donna. That's a blessing. Please join me as we sing 206, Blessed Be the Name.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. blessed be the name of the Lord. When Jesus washed my sins away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name.
That was beautiful, man. I'll tell you one thing, just to hear your voices in harmony together in the house of the Lord, what a blessing that was to me, and I know a blessing to God as He accepted that today as worship from your heart straight to His. Today we're going to be looking at some passages that come out of Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. If you've got your Bible, go ahead and turn with me over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. And I'm going to ask you, how many of y'all made New Year's resolutions? Okay. Three of you. How many of you did not? Why did you not? Because you know you don't keep them? Is that what it is? You didn't want to challenge yourself along the way? And by the way, the online audience doesn't get out of that either. You need to answer our own Dr. John Cazito as to whether or not you set some New Year's resolutions this year. Yes, you did. No, you didn't. I'm not going to ask you what they are or anything to that nature. Even the online people, I'm not going to have Dr. John come up and read your response or anything. But I want to hit on a couple of things today, which is essentially a scenario of about this time of the year. If somebody sets some New Year's resolutions, they generally start to tucker off. This is about the time of the year where the struggle is real. Let's just say it like that. The struggle is real. Now, statistics will tell you that by the end of the month, generally you have crashed and burned on those New Year's resolutions. But right about now in the year is when you begin to feel the burn, as it were. You feel the struggle of not being able to maintain the resolution in the same manner that you wanted to. But what I want us to look at today is a difference between distraction and devotion. If you're going to set a resolution, you're going to make it, you need to be devoted to it. You need to be committed to what it is that you are going to do. You know, I look around this room and I see a lot of people who know and understand what the term commitment means. But I look around in the world today and I don't see the same thing. I see a lot of people who don't understand what commitment is because they don't keep commitments anymore. Now, I'm not just hammering on a younger generation. I'm hammering on a society because that doesn't have an age classification. Yeah, that's one of those situations where you can find that in any generation that you want to. It's that we just don't seem to be as committed and devoted as we used to be to certain things. Now, we've got a great example in the Word of God, one that each and every one of you have heard before, but I want us to look at it just for a moment, particularly to see if it's going to be some encouragement for you to keep some of those good resolutions that you've made as we're well into starting the year 2025. But Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 38, reads as follows. Luke 10, 38 and following. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you right now, I pray that your word would truly be beneficial to us today. We know that it will be. We pray that your spirit would speak to our hearts to make it applicable to where we are today. And Lord, I pray that we would glean wisdom from your word today, that we would apply it to our lives, and that we might see real change come about because of devotion rather, Lord, than distraction. Lord, bless me as your messenger for these moments. As we lift you up, Father, I pray that you would truly be magnified and exalted. And as always, Lord, we pray if there's one in the sound of my voice that does not know you, that today truly would be the day that they would give their life to you and all of the saints in heaven would rejoice. Bless our time as only you can, Father, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, as we look at this, and this is not anything that's a new concept to either of us, but Martha was distracted. When you look at the two of them, you can see what was taking place and what was going on. Martha was one that was distracted, and Mary is one that in this particular story is classified as the one who is devoted. Now, I would also look and see this situation as Martha being one who had a very valuable spiritual gift, the gift of hospitality. You know, it's interesting. You don't see too many people that have that gift as much as you used to in the older days, do you? I know I can look across this room and I know that there are people in this room who have the gift of hospitality. You will feed people, you will take care of them, you will be the greatest host in the world. And I can almost picture what it must have been like when Martha saw Jesus coming up. All of a sudden, her spiritual gift kicked in. And she is sitting back going, "Oh, I tell you what I'm going to have tonight. I'm going to have a roasted lamb. You know, I'm going to send somebody down to the grocery store." Y'all picking up what I'm putting down there? I'm just making it a little modern. We're going to get a lamb. We're going to have that. We're going to have all the fixings with it. We're going to get out the good china. We're going to wash it up. We're going to clean everything up. This is going to be the best dinner that Jesus has ever had. Now, I've got a question I want to ask you about that. Is there anything wrong with that? No, there's not. I want you to understand some things along the way, okay? And one of those things is that even though when we look at Martha in this story, we talk about the fact that she was distracted, there is absolutely nothing out of line or wrong with what she was doing in exercising a God-given gift, a God-given talent, or a God-given ability. She wanted the very, very best for Jesus when he came by. Now, the problem was we had sis over here. Mary. Mary is at the feet of Jesus, right? She is listening to what Jesus is saying. She is taking in every word that Jesus is saying. And Martha is over here with her hands full in the kitchen. Now I want to ask, where are my kitchen ladies? Man, you love to cook. You do the things like that. Now, what happens when somebody else comes in your kitchen? Do you usually, are you usually down with that, or do you usually prefer that they go on and do something else? I'll go ahead and answer that question. You generally prefer that they go on and do something else. Now, the thing about it was there was a lot of overwhelming things that must have been going on with Martha. She probably had the lamb going. She had all these different things taking place. Her problem was she looked in there and she saw Mary, and in her mind, Mary was doing nothing. You ever been there? You sit back and say, well, I'll tell you one thing. That's one of the laziest person I've ever seen in my life. They're not doing anything. They could help by doing this, that, or the other thing. She looked at that, and she looked at Mary, and in her mind, Mary was doing absolutely nothing. Kind of made her mad, I guess, a little bit. Well, I think it's safe to say it did, because what we learn in the Word, Martha kind of tattled, didn't she? I could just see Martha now walking in going, Jesus, I just cannot believe this. Yeah, we're trying to get this good meal together for you, and my sister is sitting in here. She's being lazy. Tell her to get up and come help me. I mean, think about it for a minute. That is exactly the way it went down, according to what the Scripture says. Now, here's what we know about these passages. We know that Martha is distracted while Mary remains devoted. That's a key thing. Mary was devoted. Again, I want to point out the fact that what Martha was doing was not something that was wrong. The problem was sometimes we can get our priorities out of order. I want to go on and say this, that sometimes we can find ourselves so busy doing the good things and the right things, but we're doing them for all the wrong reasons. Sometimes we can be the preacher. Sometimes we can be the Sunday school teacher, the choir director, the choir member, the congregant, or whatever, that we are so busy working that we are not worshiping. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. As the Holy Spirit has placed it on your heart, there are a lot of busy, busy Christian people. You know, when I say busy, busy Christian people, what they're doing is good. What they're doing is right. What they're doing is wholesome. But the problem is it has moved over from devotion to our Lord to being distracted. I've had conversations with many over the years, and especially in our church as well, that I believe with all of my heart that you can overserve. Okay? Now, that being said, I also believe you can underserve. There's a balance between those two, okay? Now, I've often said that if your service is pulling you away, if what you are doing is distracting you from being able to hear what the Lord has to say to you, and for you not having the time to worship, then you're too busy. Plain and simple. Is it one of those situations that your service pulls you out of worship 52 Sundays a year? Oh, because there's only how many in a year? 52. If that's happening, then we have to understand whether or not our focus is correct. We have to have the time that we're spending in worship with the Lord. You hear something that's very, very interesting that often people don't think about. Do you realize that I don't get to go to church? Have you ever thought about that? I don't get the chance to sit back and listen to a pastor preach a message. Not very often. I do if I go out of town for vacation or something like that. But I don't get that chance to sit back out there and let the Holy Spirit whip up on me a little bit. Because usually I am in this position right here of being the vessel. So that doesn't mean that I sit back and go, oh, well, that's just the way it is. No. You know what that means? That means that I have to have my worship in another means, another method, or another way. I do listen to other preachers. I don't get to sit in the congregation. I do get to hear what they say. And yes, driving down the road, I've had the Holy Spirit whip me three ways, hard, fast, and continuously on numerous occasions. But it must be something that we seek. Are we distracted? As we go into 2025, are we distracted from doing what God wants us to do and being what God wants us to be, even though we might be doing and being the right things? See, Martha's focus is on the task, not on the guest. Remember who was that went by to see her? Jesus. She was spending more of her time getting dinner together than realizing she was in the presence of the Almighty. She was spending more time there in that area of the kitchen than she was in the area of the living room at the feet of Jesus. But Mary's attention is solely on Jesus and solely on His Word. So both women are in the presence of Jesus. Did you ever think about that for a minute? Both women are in the presence of Jesus, but have different priorities. Was Jesus the same in the presence of both of them? Yep. Was He there to provide for their needs? Yes. Was He there to teach them? Yes. And one is at His feet gleaning and listening. The other one has what I like to label as spiritual ADHD. That's attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. It's a very, very real thing. But we can get that way spiritually as well. We can be so busy doing stuff and running around that we completely miss what it is that God has for us. Now, I'm not preaching at you. I am preaching to you. You may tell you how I'm doing that? Because I've been there before. I have been to the position where I have been so busy serving that I wasn't busy worshiping. Getting in the stillness and in the presence of the Father. Listen, that was really, really cool how you guys sang a cappella right as it was leading into this. What a beautiful, beautiful voice that you had together as you worshiped the Lord. That meant a lot to me. I want you to know that. That was a very worshipful moment for me this morning to hear you. I hope and pray that you heard you the same way I heard you. Because, man, that was great. Both women in the presence of Jesus, but have different priorities. And that's the reason why there can be so many people in the presence of Jesus today, but you have different priorities. And they can be good things, but they can be distracting you. How many of y'all would say you're easily distracted? I don't have my hand up, I have two hands up. Yeah, I'm like, you know, hey, check that squirrel. Yeah. I can be very easily distracted. And let me tell you something right now, and it irritates me to death, that Satan is a number one distractor in your life. He will put things in your life. He will put good things in your life. Anything he can do to distract you from hearing the Lord, doing what the Lord wants you to do, being where the Lord wants you to be. And here's the interesting part. Most of it's good stuff. Most of it is not bad stuff, but we can get our priorities out of whack. How many of you have ever been told you need to get your priorities in order? I have. You know, when you get your priorities turned upside down, then things start getting awry. Both of these women were in the presence of Jesus, but their priorities were different. Mary's was there to glean from the Savior. Martha's was there to put forth the best meal ever. Which one do you think Jesus preferred? He would have preferred Martha to have been right beside Mary, gleaning from Him. Oh, and by the way, sometimes people sit back and say, well, yes, but I just wouldn't have been a good host and he wouldn't have had anything to eat. Last time I checked, Jesus was the same guy that took a little boy's lunch and fed thousands of people. Y'all remember that? I bet that was the best fish there ever was, too. I bet that was the best bread there ever was. I mean, I don't know. He probably seasoned it up real good. But all them people was probably sitting there going, boy, I will tell you one thing. I'm going to see if my wife can get that recipe. That was good. The good stuff. See, distractions can hinder experiencing God's presence. Both sisters are near Jesus, and yet one misses the connection. See, prioritizing worldly tasks over spiritual growth can create a distance from God. You know what's sad about it is? We do that. It's very easy to do that. And listen, I'm not blaming you. We're all guilty of that. Because we've all been in that situation, and all of a sudden the Lord says, why are you here? How are you here? And we just want to stomp our feet and go, ooh, this is what I was supposed to have been looking out for. Lord, I don't know how I always wind up going down this wrong road because we're distracted. We're distracted. And Satan the whole time just goes, you're easy. All I got to do is distract you with good things. And I can pull you away from being what Jesus wants you to be. See, listening to Jesus brings awareness and understanding of His will. So what can we do with that? We need to identify and eliminate the distractions to enhance the spiritual focus of our lives. If you are one of those people, many people who made a New Year's resolution to say, I'm going to read my Bible more, I'm going to study my Bible more, I'm going to be in church more, I'm going to pray more. And a lot of us have done that. If we didn't do it this year, we've done it in years past. Well, okay, that's a good resolution. But you need to identify and eliminate the distractions to that. How many of y'all have ever made that resolution and you said, I'm going to spend this time with the Lord and I'm going to set this particular time aside, and everything could be all quiet on the front, and about the time you open that Bible, the phone rings and you take that call and you're like, okay, well, yeah, and you hang the phone up. Well, then you go back, you open that Bible up, then the doorbell rings. And then you visit with the neighbor for a few minutes. And then you go back to that Bible passage. And all along you're like, well, I'm going to have to hurry through this today because I'm running out of time. Well, then all of a sudden, you know, something happens in the kitchen. You got to take care of something with the kids. And then you go back. And then you realize, I need to start supper in 5 minutes. I'll just pick up tomorrow what I didn't do today. And you go about your business. And by the way, making supper for the kids and the family is not a bad thing, is it? And then you go in the next day, and the same things happen. And it happens again and again and again and again. Satan is going to keep on beating you to try to keep you out of the presence of the Father. He will distract you with everything coming and going. And if you are like I am, you're easily distracted, then that means we have to set priorities. Yeah, it's very interesting how we have come in just a few generations. I can remember when I was younger, that phone could ring off of the wall in the kitchen before somebody would answer it. Phone start ringing. You going to get that? No, I got it last time. It's your turn to get it. Well, I ain't going to get that phone. And we didn't have voicemail. Remember that? Didn't have a voicemail. If somebody just didn't answer the phone, you were just out of luck. That's what it was. And then in just a couple of generations, we went from having telephones, you know, one in the kitchen to every room, including the bathroom. And we feel like if we don't get the phone, Lord of mercy, if somebody don't get somebody, if you don't answer that phone, somebody's going to die. Even with having voice, like, get the phone, get the phone. We'll run to it. We'll trip over each other. We are distracted. In America today, aren't we? Distracted driving. By the way, that drives me crazy. That's a pet peeve of mine. The other day, I was driving a road tractor down the road with a trailer, and there was a guy just sitting there doing this. And he started fading over towards my lane, and I enjoyed having that little wire right up here. And when I pulled that air horn, I think he just about came unglued. And looked at me, and I went, mm-mm. Put that down and drive. Quit being distracted. We're spiritually distracted. And what the way we get through that is we identify and eliminate the distractions to enhance the spiritual focus. If the phone is going to ring and you have to answer it, here's a good idea. Turn it off. It does have an off button. Do y'all, how many of y'all know that? Raise your hand if you know that a cell phone has an off button. Yeah, some of you all are old timers like me. You have a home. How many of y'all have a home phone? You still have a home phone. You know what you can do? You can take it off. You can take it off and you can press that button, and I promise you it won't ring. You can do that as you prioritize and make time for God. You know, the other thing you can do, most of you have homes and you've got a place that you can go into for privacy. And it has usually a little button on this round thing that you turn to get in and out, and it's called a door lock. You can press that button. You set that time aside. You make that daily appointment with God and don't break it. That's how you make it a priority. The world needs to stop around you or continue on without you while you do what is necessary. And I will make you a promise on this. I will promise you that there will be more time in your day. You will get more things done. When you spend the proper amount of time with the Lord, you won't be lacking in anything. I promise you that. Why do I know this so well? Because it's a daily struggle for myself as well. That's why. We need to assess what occupies most of our time, and we need to divert attention to God. We need to identify the things that are pulling us away from Him and alleviate those so that we can put our attention back toward Him. Prioritizing time spent in prayer. Prioritizing our worship. Prioritizing the reading of Scripture. You know what? You will never do better at anything unless you purposed to do it. I like that word, purpose. If you want to be, you want to have a better Bible study time, then purpose to have a better Bible study time. Purpose to alleviate the distractions. If you want a better prayer life with the Lord, you are going to have to purpose to do that. You have to do it on purpose. It is not just magically going to happen. You don't just all of a sudden one day become super spiritual. It takes hard work. Prioritize those things. Regularly practice mindfulness in God's presence and in deepening your spiritual relationship with Him. What's another thing we can see from our story? Yeah, we see the call to choose the better part. In verses 41 and 42, it says, "And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part from which will not be taken away from her.'" You see, Jesus highlights the importance of priorities. Do you have priorities set in your life? You know, it's funny because some people, and it's really weird because I've noticed that a lot of younger people today don't even know what a budget is. Have you noticed that? They have no clue how to budget. You can say, well, you know, how's your budget looking? What's a budget? They don't have a clue. It's just, if there's money in the bank, I'm okay. The rest of us have gone through some tough times, and we understand what a budget's like, don't we? You set it and you stay within it. But Jesus is making, he is highlighting and emphasizing the importance of having priorities in your life. And Jesus addresses Martha's anxiety and her distractions. You know, Mary chooses, she chooses to reflect and understand what truly matters in her life. And what truly matters in her life is being in the presence of Jesus, being around Him, drawing from Him. And Jesus commends Mary's decision to focus on Him rather than the peripheral things that really don't amount to a hill of beans in the long run. Now, don't get me wrong. What did I say before? I said that what Martha was doing was important, but it was not the most important thing. It was more important for her to set back. She could have said, I can do a really good meal because I'm good at it, or I could spend time over here with Jesus, which I don't get to do all the time. You know what I'd have chosen in that point? I said, I think I want to hang out with Jesus for a while. We'll fix something later. We'll open up a can of beans or whatever. Maybe He'll turn the beans into, you know, roast. Who knows? He can do that. But he knows the heart. So Jesus commends Mary's decision to focus her time and her efforts on him. You know, choosing devotion provides eternal value and peace. And focusing on Jesus is what fosters spiritual nourishment and growth in each and every one of our lives. Folks, let me tell you something. Worries and the task of life should not overshadow the call to listen to Jesus. Because I will make you this promise. Every one of us in this room have worries, don't we? Every one of us in this room have tasks. We have things that need to be done. I don't know about you, but there are times when I have so many tasks and I am so overwhelmed, I don't know whether I'm coming or going. How about you? I've been that way recently. There are more things that need to be done than I have time to do. How about you? There are more places I need to be than I have time to be there. There are more people that I need to see than I have time to see. So you know what happens at that point? You have to prioritize. You have to say, it is critical for me to follow the leadership of the Spirit to see this person, to be here, to be there, to do this, to do that. And you know what? It drives me crazy. I am one of those guys that I don't have a list, but I like to get stuff done. And it drives me crazy having stuff undone. But worries and tasks of life should not overshadow the call to listen to Jesus. You know, one of the greatest times of peace that I have is when I get to be in the presence of the Lord in His house. When I walk in here. Do you know why? Because nothing else matters at that point. You know, when you go into that prayer room or you go into that study and you open up God's Word and nothing else matters except being in the moment with Him, you will find peace and you will find respite. I promise. I promise. See, we need to prioritize what brings us closer to God. We've been talking about priorities, haven't we? Are you prioritizing the things that are bringing you closer to God? Set aside devotional time with God daily, despite the busy, busy schedule. Let God's Word guide your decisions and your priorities and your lifestyles and everything that you do. Seek God's peace in situations of worry and anxiety, trusting in the fact that He provides. Boy, God provides, doesn't He? I can tell you, that, and that's one of the things that I know in my heart and in my life that I've come to be more conscious of the older I've gotten. I say, Lord, thank you for the provision. Lord, thank you for the way that you have provided. I mean, we've seen the way things are going in this world and everything today. Literally, I've sat back, and some of these guys can tell you, I could sit over at Wendy's, and I'll say, Lord, I want to thank you for the resources that you provided us to buy this $20 cheeseburger today. Because you, I get to have this, and I thank you because I know that it is because of you. Because there's a whole lot of people who can't do that today. And God is good. All the time. God is good. We need to let our anxieties go to Him. We need to make sure that we are trusting in His provision. I don't know how God does what He does. I've sat back many, many times in my life, and people sit back and say, well, you're just being modest. I said, no, I'm not. I'm just being honest. There's a difference between modest and honest, and I'm just being honest. I can tell you that I know without any shadow of a doubt in my lifetime there have been times that God has intervened and put me where He wanted me to be, and I had nothing to do with it. I can tell you at times that I literally said, when I took a test, if you would have asked me and put me on a lie detector test and with truth serum and said, what do you think you made on that test? I would say a zero. I don't think I got any of these questions right on this test. And then all of a sudden, I was the one that passed it. I said, God has taken exams for me in my life because I couldn't do it. I said, I know He changed the answers on the paper, or He changed the questions to go with the answers. Because there's no way God provides. See, there's also a point I want us to understand that in our story today is that there's a difference between serving and being served. In Luke chapter 10, verse 40, it says, but Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached Him and said, Lord, Do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Martha's tattling, ain't she? She goes and makes her feelings known to the Lord. Lord, she's not doing what she's supposed to be doing. That's what she said. She's supposed to be helping me. You know how that works. She should be in here. You need to tell her to get in here and help me. See, Martha choosing serving, she chose to serve over being served by Christ. Did you get that? I know it was a tongue twister. Let me say it again. Martha chose serving over being served by Christ. That's a bad choice, isn't it? Every day of the week. See, Martha's service is driven by duty and by custom. She did that because that's what you do. When you have a guest over, you make a nice meal for them. This is what you do. Her service was driven by that duty and that custom of that particular day. You see, missing out on Jesus' teaching due to her preoccupation of other things. How many things are we missing out on because we are preoccupied doing good things? Did that make sense? We're doing good things. We're not doing bad things. Remember what Jesus said to the church at Ephesus? He said, man, look, I know you're a good church. I know you've done all the right things. You have tried those who bring the message. You have made sure the false prophets get run out. You have done all these good things. And yet he said this, nevertheless, I have somewhat against you. Why? Because you had left your first love. He said, you're doing all the right things, but you're doing them for all the wrong reasons. How many of the things in our lives, particularly as we head into 2025, are we doing the right things, but we're doing them for the wrong reasons? You see, the problem here was that Martha was missing out on the teaching of Jesus because she was so preoccupied with good things that she was doing. See, we need to recognize that service should not overtake devotion. Let me say that again. Service should not overtake devotion. Balance service with time at Jesus' feet. Do you think that I'd be able to preach a message to you if I didn't spend time at the feet of the Savior? No. And by the way, most of the time what you're hearing from here is because that's what the Lord has taught me. I'm just telling you, I'm just giving you the book report from my spiritual life. That's kind of cool. Balance service with time at the feet of the Savior. Service is important, but it should not replace learning and receiving from Jesus. Find that balance between action and contemplation. See, Jesus honors those who choose the time to receive his teaching and to receive his presence. And by the way, one of those opportunities is right here today. You are taking the time to do that. You have set the world aside to do that. Let me tell you something. Being part of pulling off a worship service, that's what I want to say. It's not a production, but there's a lot of moving parts and pieces that go toward having a service so that people can watch online, so that people in different countries can be a part of hearing God's word. There's a lot of knobs and things that Ernie's got to push and pull and turn back there. There's a lot of buttons that need to be pushed so you can see all these things here. But if they get to the point where they are distracting us from worship, I'd rather them all go away. Worship does not have to have smoke and mirrors. It should not be a production. It should be what we do in a heart of worship in the presence of the Father. Reflect on how to serve while maintaining spiritual attentiveness. Integrate those moments of reflection, even in service. Ensure that your heart is aligned with God during acts of service. Why do you do what you do? You know what? If all I did was drove a truck and took a feeding unit up to Western North Carolina, And that was my only intention, was because I like to drive a truck, then I'm not serving the Lord. You see, what was good was to drive that truck up there and have that opportunity to help set it up, to help talk to those people, the people whose lives have been destroyed, to be the arms and the hands and the feet of Jesus in those people's lives, to be able to take the stuff that you all collected because your heart was right and to get it to those people who desperately needed it. You'll not know on this side of glory what that meant, but you didn't do that for any other reason than you wanted to be the hands and the feet of the Lord, right? Because God has blessed you, you could buy a buddy heater. And you did. And some family today is staying warm because of that. That's being the hands and the feet of Jesus. That's why we have to look at it like that. We have to look at what we're doing as the tool to be able to serve the Savior. I don't drive just because I like to get up there and find tight places. I like to drive because that means I get to get out there on the front line where everything's happening. When we were out in Texas, do you think I sat around and ate Styrofoam Surprise for a week? No. And when there was nothing that I could do that I was trained in, you know what I said? Hey, can I go out with the chaplains? I want to go talk to people. Y'all know I'm trying to get over all this introversion that I got. I want to go talk to some people. But I got to cry with some people. My heart got to break with them as I watched them. And you know what else I got to do? I got to watch hope come back in them. And that is why we do what we do there. That's why Steve goes. That's why Jimmy goes. That's why Kirk goes. That's why all these guys go. Not because we go, oh, goody, I get to run a chainsaw for 12 hours today. I think about some of the stuff we've done, and you do some stuff you don't like to do to get some stuff that you get to do. I still laugh at Mike. Mike said, I'm going on this mission trip, and I'll do everything in the world, but I don't want to hang no sheetrock. Guess what Mike did all week up in the Northeast? Hung sheetrock. Sometimes the Lord's got a sense of humor, doesn't he, brother? But he didn't do it because he liked it. He did it because that's what the Lord called him to do, to be something in the hearts and the lives of those that were around him. Make sure you replenish spiritually to sustain the ability to serve others. See, in life, there are many things that demand our attention, but only one thing is truly needed, and that is devotion to Jesus. You see, Martha and Mary present us with a very, very clear choice: distraction through busyness or devotion through attentiveness. How about us striving to choose what is better, like Mary, and commit to making Jesus our priority, not only in 2025, but for the rest of our lives. As we assess the balance between serving and listening, let us seek time to genuinely connect with Christ, ensuring that our spirit is renewed and that our mind is focused on the eternal value of His kingdom. So let me ask this. This week, can you consciously, purposefully, can you this week make spending time with Jesus part of your daily routine and part of your exercise of spending time with Him? And you will find peace that will fill your heart, and you will find so many things that will fall in line. Finally, are you distracted like Martha, or are you devoted like Mary? In our fast-paced world, it's easy to find ourselves caught up in the hustle and the bustle, much like Martha, who was distracted by many, many tasks. However, true devotion is found in stillness and focus that Mary exemplified as she sat at the feet of what truly matters. You know, like I said, that's why that was just so special to me as an act of worship. Right before I got ready to preach, you all created an act of worship. And I don't think you did it out of habit. Let me tell you why I don't think you just did it out of habit. Because it hit here. When you do it out of habit, it hits here. But when you do it out of heart, it hits here. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. That's powerful, isn't it? That was a powerful moment. Did you miss it? I hope not. See, we need to start looking for those moments. Brad, come on up. We're going to have our invitation time in just a second. And here's the thing. Listen, the greatest thing is Jesus. It's not just simply about whether or not you were baptized. It's not simply about whether you had an emotional type feeling. It is about trusting Jesus. It's about realizing that you are a sinner, and because of your sins, you will spend eternity in hell without the salvation of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Through His crucifixion, His burial, and His resurrection, He paved the way. And we just surrender our lives to Him. Now, there's nothing magical about it, but what's magical about it is that you believe with all your heart that what Jesus did on Calvary's cross accomplishes eternal life for you. And my question is, have you received Him? You know, by the way, prayer is talking to the Father. Has there been that time when you've cried out to Him and said, Lord, you know what? My life is so messed up right now. I don't know whether I'm coming or going. Lord, I've been a look-alike of a Christian for a long time, but I have never trusted you. But today, I'm truly asking you to save my soul. Maybe today is the first day of the rest of your life as a born-again believer. Listen, if you need to trust Christ in prayer, you can seek Him by saying, Lord Jesus, today I know I'm a sinner. I know I need a Savior. I believe what Jesus accomplished on Calvary's cross and through the resurrection. Lord, forgive my sins and save my soul. Help me to live like part of the family. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, folks, I can tell you right now that if you meant that with all of your heart, the Lord heard your prayer. He has received you. He has said, come on in. Welcome to the family. But that's just the start. He wants you to walk like His child. He wants you to talk like His child. He wants you to represent like His child. And that's what we learn as we come to know Him through His Word. Can you do that today? Maybe you need some help. Listen, if you've trusted the Lord, maybe you need some help in that discipleship arena. Listen, it's a great time. We have fun doing that. It's not in the doldrums. It's just how you look at it. Satan's going to tell you it's boring. Satan's going to tell you not to do that. Satan's going to tell you you've got other things to do. Did we just not preach about that today? Is Satan trying to make you a Martha while Jesus is trying to make you a Mary? Well, the question is up to you. Which will you be today? Listen, in just a moment, we'll have our invitation hymn. If you've trusted Christ, let me know. If you're part of our online audience and you trusted Jesus, listen, you be sure to holler it really loud on that keyboard to Dr. Cazito, because he's going to holler it really loud to me and say, hey, man, listen, a brother or sister accepted Christ today. See, maybe we're here today and we have been caught up in that rut. A rut is nothing but a grave opened up on both ends. And today was just another day, second verse, same as the first. We have been living a distracted life. And the Holy Spirit has pointed it out today, and now it's time to start leading a devoted life, not a distracted life. Will you call on the Lord and say, Lord, help me. I don't even know how to do it, but give me the steps. Help me to be dedicated. Help me purpose to be at your feet every moment of every day. And Lord, to live right for you. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. There's your start. He forgives your sins and He will make it good for you. Whatever you need. Listen, there's an old altar up here. You're always welcome to kneel at that altar. If you need me, I'm here to pray with you. But whatever your need is, take care of it right now as we stand together to sing our invitation hymn. It's number 282, Living for Jesus, as Brad comes to lead us.
Living for Jesus, a life that is once, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway of blessing for me. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee, for Thou in Thine atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone.
Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed as you seek the Master. Listen, right now, Satan's trying to distract you. You see how it is when you point those things out? He's trying to get your mind on everything, you know, where you're going to go, where you're going to eat, what you've got to do for the rest of the day. I got to get back in before this all freezes. You're going to. Don't let Satan distract you. Now's the time to be devoted to what the Holy Spirit is speaking in your life. Will you do that? Or will you keep on wrestling with wrong choices? Give it to the Father and trust Him. Today is truly the first day of the rest of your life. As you continue to seek Him, I'm going to ask our ushers to make their way down as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him.
Our Father, so many times we talk about
provision, and Lord, we honor the way You provide for us in our lives. And Lord, we certainly come to this particular time and moment where, as an act of worship, we return to You the tithe and the offering that You have commanded us by which to do. I pray, Lord, that we will truly be found faithful as we do that. And Lord, we also have to realize that You have given us what is Yours to be a steward of. May we truly be a good steward of You today as we return the tithe and offering. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Donna. Y'all remember that one, don't you? Higher Ground, absolutely. I don't know if that was the right title, but that's Lord Lift Me Up, Let Me Stand. Okay, there we go. Good. I got the title right, too. All right. right. All right, let me give you a couple things, then we'll get you on out of here. Birthdays that we've got coming up this week. On Tuesday, Misty Logan will be having a birthday. And then on Wednesday, Mitchell Logan will be having a birthday. So I wonder if they have to celebrate together, you know, both of them too, since they're married, you know, and they're one day apart. But at any rate, also this coming Saturday, Terry Crider will be celebrating her birthday. You get a chance, be sure to let these folks know that we love them and we appreciate them and help them celebrate on their special, special day. We won't have any activities around for this evening because, like I say, you know, what's wet may will probably start to freeze here after it gets dark. So we won't have any afternoon or evening activities here at the church. Monday, Steve's D-Life group is scheduled to meet at 6 o'clock. If it's any different, Steve will let his group know. So he'll keep you if you don't hear from Steve, y'all are meeting tomorrow at 6 o'clock. If you do hear from Steve, you probably won't. So he'll let you know. But if you're part of Steve's D group, that tomorrow will be the time. Also, just we just gotten word recently that that Bethel United Methodist Church does have a monthly free veterans breakfast every second Friday at 8:30 a.m. And that's located over on 8424 Hall River Road in Oak Ridge. So if that's something that you would like to go to and you didn't catch that address, give us a call. We'll make sure that you get it. Again, that's every second Friday at 8:30 a.m. at Bethel Church over on Hall River Road. Ladies, your Connections meeting is coming up. Next one is February the 5th at 4 o'clock p.m. in the Fellowship, the Family Life Center 116. And then your monthly breakfast is coming up Tuesday, the 15th, 1:15 at 9 a.m. at Cagney's on Friendly. We ask that you continue to remember and help us as we begin to make preparation for our Cuba mission trip, which is February the 28th through March the 7th. We will be letting you know what our budget is as we go into that. Again, our missionaries, we ask them to raise their support outside of the church. The church has always supported the ministry that goes on over in Cuba. So we're going to let you know what that's going to be. The fundraising on that will be each of the Sundays during offering time in the month of February. So begin praying about what the Lord would have for you to do in this very, very special endeavor that we have. The only other thing that I have is if you are here, and even if you're not here, if you're watching online, and last week you got an envelope. How many of y'all in here got an envelope and it was empty? It was empty. Okay. That was not an April Fool's thing. See Jana, she's right back there at the board. She's got what the contents of your envelope is. So, like I said, we just all of a sudden we're hearing some people say, well, I got this empty envelope. What was that? Jana will fix you up. If you're watching online, next time you see her, tell her your envelope was empty, and she will make sure that that gets cleared up. Don't know how that happened, but nonetheless, we weren't trying to psych you out or anything. There was something in it. Jana will give you what's in it if you get a chance to see her today. So at any rate, I love you. It was so good to see you today. You guys be careful. Always remember, we want you to be safe. We're grateful that you had the chance to make it out to worship in the house of the Lord together today. But for those who didn't, listen, thank you for being safe. We pray we will see you again this next Sunday as we gather together. Brother David, let us know if there's anything else that we need to know, and then see us off in a word of prayer.
Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you for the privilege we've had of being in your house today. Lord, many people couldn't be here today because of the weather and for different reasons, but Lord, you blessed us with the opportunity to be able to come here and worship you, and we thank you and praise you for it. We thank you for this message, Lord. Help us to keep our priorities right. Lord, help us to keep you at the center of everything we do in 2025. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.